720 KMOX. Depend on it.
Well, we quite often talk about media bias, and especially the way that the mainstream media covers this president. I thought that Joel Kotkin had a very interesting perspective on this because he is not from my side of the political aisle. And he wrote a column about, you know, whether or not we're seeing the twilight of America's mass media. I thought it would be a great conversation to have. Joel Kotkin with me this afternoon. Hey, Joel, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
You know, I like Rolling Stone magazine for the music stuff, and I've always thought when we talk about media bias, I've included Rolling Stone and Vanity Fair, and, you know, everybody says, well, you got a radio show and Rush Limbaugh and all that, but when you talk about the landscape of the media, it's wider than ever before. But it's interesting because in the early part of your piece on the media, you quote Taibbi, who says that the Mueller report represents a death blow for the reputation of the American news media. That sort of surprised me coming from that source.
Well, and what's interesting is that this is not the only, he's not the only person who has seen that. What I find sometimes is that people maybe further on the left, you know, who are not part of the party infrastructure, like large parts of the media really are at this stage of the game, that they'll dissent. There's been some very excellent reporting in The Nation, for instance, on this as well. You know, I don't, when I'm trying to understand what's going on, yes, it, you know, sometimes the conservative media has some good points, but sometimes I say, well, you know, they have an axe to grind. But when I find that both the conservative media and the left media agree that the establishment media is wrong, that's kind of intriguing.
So I guess what happened here is, and we've seen this develop for the past 3 years, is that you have a situation where it's not the story necessarily that some of these reporters or editors, I think the editors have to be talked about here too, are really going for. They're just trying to bring down Trump.
Well, I think they're trying to bring down Trump, but I think it's really more pervasive than that. I mean, Trump has certainly sparked a level of ferocity among politicized journalists that, you know, probably we haven't seen at least since Nixon. The difference is that I think that the media is increasingly inhabited, particularly among the younger reporters and editors, by people whose concept of what journalism is about is just very different than the one I grew up with. And I work for many of the leading papers in the country. And the kind of lack of concern for even the appearance of objectivity, the unwillingness to talk to anybody who may break from the narrative.
Right, right. A primary example of that, I believe, would be climate change, because yes, there are definitely people who aren't wacky and crazy who have a different opinion. They're not climate change deniers, but they have a different opinion of what's happening right now. And there is absolutely zero effort to. In fact, the opposite has happened. I forget which editorial board came out and said, we're not going to print anything from people who don't have our view of climate change.
Right. Well, and this is something actually, and living in California, you see this all the time, you know, that we may say, look, if you want to, what you're doing now, for instance, here in California, is we ranked 39th out of the states in reduction of GHG per capita last decade. Well, hey, guys, it's not really working. And look at all the terrible things that have happened to middle and working class Californians as a result. Let's think about something else. Let's figure if there's other ways to approach this problem. And also, to get ourselves out of this virtue signaling, California, for instance, California could fall into the ocean tomorrow, and yeah, it would have no impact at all on the climate.
No, that's right. Well, look, and I offer this example. The whole country could shut down, and it would, whatever impact it would have on the climate would be reversed within a couple of years. If the entire country shuts down.
Well, because, you know, most of the emissions increases are taking place in China and India,
yeah,
and,
right,
you know, countries. And look, I'm not going to get into an argument about, well, you know, they shouldn't be doing it. You know, the fact of the matter is, are we going to tell people in Mumbai that they can't have air conditioning? If anyone's spent time in Mumbai, you realize air conditioning is kind of nice. So the reality is that there are a whole series of issues, whether they involve gender, transgender, gay people, in some cases, Islamists, g- groups that sort of achieve a kind of protected status, and issues that you simply cannot raise. I mean, like for instance, on climate change, there's a lawsuit by 200 civil rights leaders in California, who, if they were claiming that oil companies were discriminatory, it would be on the front page. They can't get coverage. People who normally the California media would be all over. It's just you become a non-person. I mean, what we're seeing is that large parts of the media function with all the objectivity of the medieval Catholic Church.
I like that analogy. And look, I was trained in journalism. I was a news director and a reporter. And you've worked at many newspapers, as you said. This stuff didn't used to be allowed, no matter what your political opinions were, if you were the editor or the news director or the people calling the shots, let alone the reporters. And I think one of the things that's really fueled this outside of the Mueller report is we look at what happened to Brett Kavanaugh. And obviously, I'm approaching some of these from my perspective as a conservative, but I'm going to operate on those right now. And of course, and I did this, Joel, when we were talking here, I just, you know, sort of Googled quickly what happened back at the march in D.C. a few months ago with Nathan Phillips and the young man from Kentucky. And you can still see a headline that says, "Video shows MAGA-clad teenagers harassing, mocking Native American Vietnam vet." That was from Slate, which absolutely misrepresents what happened that day.
Well, this is exactly what happens all the time. And look, I'm not a conservative. You know, I would call myself an old-fashioned Democrat. For your Missouri listeners, a Truman Democrat.
Right, right.
And the fact of the matter is that today, you know, literally, I think that young people are coming out of journalism schools not with the idea that the first job of a journalist is writing op-eds. I'm talking about somebody reporting the news.
Right.
That person's job is to say, this is what happened, and here's maybe a couple of different ways of looking at what we're doing here. But the problem is that you get the journalists who think that they're editorial writers, but they're on the front page. So I'll pick up, let's say, a newspaper, New York Times, Washington Post, and take a look at the front page, and I say, this is an editorial. This isn't a news story. We used to have that kind of church and state separation, and that's completely gone. Look, journalists, like everybody else, have their prejudices, they have their leanings, some are more liberal, some are more conservative. That's certainly the case. But we were trained, and I would say the Post was where I got most of my training, at the Post, that you were supposed to report what was happening. And then if you were trying to get interpretation, you would go to one side, then the other. For instance, when you look at, let's say, the fires we had here in California, the party line was climate change, climate change. Well, I'm old enough to remember when there were horrific fires 40, 50 years ago. I did documentaries on the history of these disasters. Or that it might have had something to do with, as the Little Hoover Commission found, that it had to do with the forestry practices of the state, that was part of the problem.
There's this issue with, this is something that happens here in the Midwest, Joel, with tornadoes, you know, in the devastation of tornadoes, which is not related to climate change at all. And that's been debunked. But look, you still hear repeated claims of that. But what happens is you got a lot more people living in these areas where tornadoes used to drop down in this country. There's homes there now.
Well, and the same thing, let's say, with fires. People living in areas that were rural areas. And by the way, where many times rural people were smart enough to know that, you know, let's get rid of the brush. They didn't have this kind of effect. It's the fact that people are just brought up with these sort of ideas and they're imprinted on them and you can't move them from it. I mean, and so what we end up with is, you know, frankly, these discussions between two different people who are yelling at each other and not listening. But the media has contributed to this by delegitimizing large parts of whether it's the scientific community or economists or social thinkers, whatever you want to say. If you don't follow the party line, you're not considered to be a legitimate voice.
Right.
So you can take people who have a career, let's say, whether it's in climate change or let's say on issues of of ethnicity and race. And you can just say, their points of view have no place in the discussion. We're not going to talk to them. We're not going to interview them. Now, look, there are some great reporters still at the New York Times. Some of them are friends of mine. There are still great reporters, I'm sure, at the Washington Post. But over time, the media is moving into this direction where I really almost have to read, for instance, the New York Times or the Washington Post the way criminologists used to read Pravda. Like, oh, I wonder what the Politburo is really thinking. And so I'm going to get some sort of indication, like, you know, well, the establishment's getting worried about things. Like, you know, I'm almost sure at some point we're going to start to see at the Post and the New York Times growing cries about, you know, the Democrats are going too far to the left and that could re-elect Trump.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll see that.
I mean, you know, Bezos is going to go after Bernie. He's probably going to go after Elizabeth Warren because, you know, they want progressivism, but not progressivism that goes into their wallets.
Well, look, whether or not we can reverse this trend with media, we'll save that for another, you know, 5-week conversation. Joel Kotkin, Gissa, I agree with you completely, and it's interesting to have your perspective because obviously different from mine politically. Always great to have you on KMOX. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
You know, the old guard of journalism really does feel, I think, the way that Joel does, depending or no matter what side of the aisle they're in. It's the new guard that doesn't seem very concerned about that. And what he said about the New York Times and the Washington Post at the end there, I think, is very important, because if they feel, and this is just not how journalism should work, talk shows can work that way. I'm paid for my opinion. Editorial boards can work that way. It's about opinions. But the choices of what stories to cover shouldn't be dependent upon which candidate you want to be elected.